Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this week, not only this week, but the past couple weeks have seen the internet become an epic, mega, insane dumpster fire if your name happens to be Ethan Ralph. For your actions have caused the internet to do things that some might deem to be unholy, unnatural, sins against man. No, I'm not referring to the tape in question. I'm referring to people who fundamentally hate each other coming together simply because they hate you more. That's a rare feat, one that I personally know. But still, interesting to see nonetheless, because the biggest A-log of them all is the one person you wouldn't expect to be like that. The one person you would not think would ever fight back, has done the impossible, has brought the gunt to his knees and reminded him that he is only mortal man, doomed to fail. I, of course, am referring to marvelous Matthew Vickers, who once again bestowed upon us fantastic reading material, bedtime reading material, the stuff you read when you want a good laugh before drifting off to dreamland to dream of the old days when Jenna Jameson wasn't insane. But this, of course, is where we find ourselves when we look back at the newly formed website, aborttheretort.com, a feat that so many clung to as being an impossible task. You can never abort the retort, one large, boulder-shaped human might chortle into a microphone while sipping a soda can full of booze while claiming that it's simply a regular Coke. You can't abort the retort, he might say as he sits upon his porcelain throne, a god amongst shit, as he viciously, feverishly masturbates with one finger up his bum, because that's the only thing that gets him off. That's my speculation, by the way. What's it called? A scatophile? There's a term for it. Chorophile? Chororophile? I'm not too sure. Someone will tell me. But today we got an interesting side to the story. An interesting piece of information that I'm assuming at the time when it was created, these correspondents were written, that they were not going to be put to the public, that public scrutiny would not bestow upon them. It reads like two warring factions fighting over a fair maiden, a Helen of Troy, if you will, except it's a father versus a gunt. And the father, oh, he is well versed in the ways of the internet, and he understands how things work. And the gunt is an alcoholic who probably would sell his own mother for the medication in her cabinet. This is their battle. This is their war. We can only enjoy it. Let it burn like fiery napalm dropping from the sky. Let it burn in a sea of flame and carnage. Let it burn. At least that way we have something to do on a Friday night, right? You know what I mean? You guys all know what I mean. All right. Corn Pop here says, sniff. Yeah, man, that sound that gets in there like an earworm, you know, gets in there, just nestles in. In the heart of darkness when you're trying to sleep, you just hear, and you know the flashbacks happen. PTSD. Now, unfortunately, I don't have a guest to go with me over these particular correspondences. I thought it would be really, really, really funny to do them like old Civil War correspondents, you know. My dearest Mr. Rad Roberts, here on the front line in California, I write to you to insult you, sir. Nah, it'd be funny to do that, but I didn't have time because people were asking me, are you going to talk about this matter? Are you going to do a thing about this? You going to read off the retarded ramblings of Rad Roberts? That's the that is the official title that that Mr. Vickers has in fact given this section of his website, abortheretort.com, for he is the editor-in-chief of abortheretort.com. God, fucking 2020 took a weird turn. This is a part of the timeline I'm not hating. Like, not at all. So, I wanted to give it a minute. I wanted to let people to come on in. I just got home from doing my deliveries. So, unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of prep time, so we're kind of going into this a little bit on the, we're going in a little bit fast, a little bit unprepared, but it's okay. It's all right. Let's dive in, shall we? Let's take a look here. Oh my God. Okay. So the retarded ramblings of Rad Roberts, my first interaction with the Gunt. As I stated in the timeline, in an effort to draw out what we believed to be a similarly aged romantic interest of Faith, Mrs. V and I sent Faith the following email on July 10th at approximately 8:20 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for finally touching base. I will keep this short and simple because arguing over this whole "you don't want to grow to hate and resent us" is utter nonsense. You clearly have no idea what you've done to everyone here. So here we go. The phone was never gifted to you. You cannot steal property and then offer to send money as a replacement and erase the crime. The value of the goods you have taken is in excess of $950. You are guilty of grand theft in the state of California, a felony, unless pleaded down to a misdemeanor. We are going to lock the phone as stolen at 5 p.m. PST, 8 p.m. your time today. We are going to report the theft of the phone, the laptop, the collectible pass holders, annual pass. Oh my God, he actually put that in there. Annual pass holder Disney suitcase. My God. Justice, where's Heartworm? Is Heartworm here? He wants justice for that suitcase. And at this point, man, clearly so does Mr. Vickers. My goodness. My gosh. He really wants that annual pass holder Disney suitcase. And the shoes. And the shoes. The younger brother, B2, I think. That's what they nicknamed him. B2 shoes that she stole. She couldn't find her own shoes. So she stole her brother's shoes. Mr. Vickers, he wants vengeance for the stolen shoes. But I really think the key thing here is not the cell phone or the laptop. It's the annual pass holder Disney suitcase. I think that's what it is. He does say, you will not be arrested because you fled the state. I don't know why you'd put that in there. If I'm just being honest with you, it's like if you're trying to scare her, if you're trying to give her an ultimatum, you're basically like, you won't be arrested, but you can't come back. I mean, the whole idea, I get the point, but I feel it's kind of counterproductive. Anyway, you will be served with a summons to appear at the Nevada County Superior Court Criminal Division. When you don't appear, you will have an added charge of failure to appear. The failure to appear will affect a warrant for your arrest in the state of California. Eventually, these lead to automatic convictions, and you will be starting your life with a criminal record. That's hardcore, man. That's like laying out. I mean, as far as like, I get it. I do get it. But goddamn, that's hardcore. Like, return the cell phone or face the consequences. And the consequences are criminal record. Jesus, this is fucking hardcore. Anyway, you paying for the items now or at any time only provides some manner of safety for you against the civil charges that we will file in small claims court. In this case, assuming that you cannot come up with the money to pay for those items before the case is heard, and assuming that you cannot or will not appear for the case, then you will have judgment automatically issued against you. This civil judgment will be in addition to a criminal conviction for the theft. Both of these things are so early in your life and will practically destroy your ability to establish credit or obtain a job that pays much beyond minimum wage. It may also affect your ability to enroll in college or get financial aid. If you think for one fleeting moment that I am bluffing, think hard about the example I've now set forth for four other children to prevent them from making the phenomenal mistake that you have made. I am not bluffing. I take no pleasure in it. I'm not trying to prove a point, but adult actions come with adult consequences. My mind is set. You may plead with your broken-hearted mother for me to explore a different path, but since she spent the last 18-plus hours crying, I am dubious of her willingness to hear you out. I'm sure that part of her requirement will be for you to have the fortitude of character to call Grandma and explain why you lied to her for months. And a voicemail is not acceptable. Dad. I mean, he's already admitted to be that he was bluffing here. He said this last night in the timeline. But it's like, dude just rolled on in and is like, I'm a steamroll your whole goddamn life. I'm like, girl, don't you fuck with me. You fucking give me that goddamn phone or you come the fuck home or I'm going to make sure you don't go to college. Hardcore. Now we kind of see what Ethan Ralph is up against, right? Now we kind of see what's happening. Now we're in a position to get a better fundamental viewpoint of the shit that will rain down on Ethan's head when Matthew Vickers is determined to do something. Because the time for games is over. I think we've established this. I think we've really established this. Like, the time for games went out the window the moment Ethan hit send on that Instagram DM. The moment for anything like that to ever have any kind of substantial coming to Jesus moment or family reconciliation went out the window the moment she basically turned down her parents to run home to Ethan. We are in a very weird and precarious situation. And I can only imagine the thoughts running through Ethan's head right now as it's 12:15 in the morning here in the West Coast. So 3:16 a.m. on the East Coast. Ethan is obviously awake. And I would assume that he's probably listening to this right now as well. So Ethan, I'm going to put an open call. You have my number. Call me. Call me. Let me ask you your mental state as an online courtesy, a wellness check, if you will. I'm going to put it on speaker so that people listening can hear it. But if you are listening, you have the number. Feel free to call. This is an open invitation. An open invitation, Ethan. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. You've pissed off the Reddit version of Liam Neeson. I am legitimately concerned for your safety. Because we don't know how far this will go. And by what comes next in regards to your opening correspondence as the one Rad Roberts. Who knows how messy this will get. Now is the time. Ask for forgiveness. Request penance. Own up to your sins. Show your report history, Ethan. Show your report history, not to me, but to Mr. Vickers. And ask for forgiveness. Say you were dumb, drunk, ill-informed, misled, lied to, deceived, conned. And beg that he doesn't buy your house. I shouldn't be having fun with this. I really shouldn't, but I kind of am. And I don't feel bad. And that's saying something. That's actually saying something. So. Red Roberts has 50K. That's right. All right, let's dive the hell back in. So he says, our plan worked too well, as 41 minutes later, we received an email from the following Rad Roberts. Now, he posts the email. I'm not going to say out what it is because that doesn't matter. But it's clearly a reference, I believe, to Back to the Future. So there's that. Anyway, from Rad Roberts, subject line, a promise. Now, you don't know me, but I'm going to let you know something. I know about you abusing your daughter. I have money. I will pay all her legal fees for the bullshit you try to start. Although the cops will laugh you out of the station. I am very well known online. You will be well known too by the end of this. There is proof of your daughter, of your abuse. And many were told. I can't keep it up. And many were told about it when it happened. Test me and find out. Keep threatening her with bullshit and find out. Don't play with me or you will regret it. You're used to pushing people around. You won't be pushing faith around anymore. It can get as messy as you want to make it. It's up to you. And I love this last line here. It can get as messy as you want to make it. It's up to you. Because right now, that is specifically what Mr. Vickers is saying to Ethan in this. It can get as messy as you want to make it. At this point, it is up to you. And considering the fact that there was no kill stream tonight, because this information dropped last night and he knew that these posts were going to go live today, that there'd be no way for him to outrun Rad Roberts. It would chase him down. And it would be talked about. People would ask him questions. They'd laugh at him. They would laugh at Ethan for trying to play this anonymous tough guy, an anonymous internet tough guy. That's what he's trying right here. He's literally trying to be like 4chan incarnate. And look, come on. You could easily replace this with a Navy SEAL copypasta and it would give you, like, quite frankly, the same impact. That's what this reads like to me, is just that fucking Navy SEAL copypasta. It's so stupid. Ah, Ear Juice, $5 Australian, says, here's some coin and stuff. JMK is live on Hejos, 9 p.m. CST, Saturday. Cheers. Thanks a lot, Ear Juice, buddy. Thanks a lot, man. Let's get back to this here. I really appreciate you kicking down some cash. It's awesome. JMK, I don't know what that is, but fuck yeah. All right. So, Mr. Vickers' reply. Might I have the pleasure of your name, sir? Who has proof of something I know categorically has never happened? In my day, a real man would make his identity known before he had the audacity to threaten somebody. Now, Rad Roberts then started the sting again at the non-generic work email with a little extra added juice. So it's the same thing he says, but there's a final paragraph here where he says, this is not a joke, and this is not a troll. You will be making a very serious mistake if you take it that way and continue to harass and abuse your daughter. Please use your head in this situation. See, I had to laugh when I read that originally. Please use your head. You're pleading with this guy that you're attempting to kind of extort. You are literally, Ethan, you are pleading with this gentleman to do what you say. While you also try to extort it. It doesn't make any that you completely destroy any bit of potential intimidation you have when at the end you say please. This is not a moment to say please. If you're trying to be an online tough guy, an internet tough guy doesn't say please. An internet tough guy shows up with his chest out and his balls huge, swelling with testosterone, ready to fire off cum rockets on anything and everything. And that's what an internet tough guy claims to do. This looks like the work of a gunt. Now, Mr. Vickers responds, there is no proof of abuse because I've never done it. I do not respond well to threats, sir. And your unwillingness to identify yourself proves nothing more than your cowardice and the fact that you don't know who I am at all. Now, Mr. Roberts returns an email 5 minutes later saying, there is proof. I'm telling you as a courtesy. It will be, I'm trying to think of the right voice for this. I got to think of the right voice. I want to think of like someone with like no balls, but it's going to be very hard to keep that up. So anyway, there is proof. I'm telling you as a courtesy. It will be blasted online in front of thousands along with all other pertinent information. It's not a threat. I'm letting you know with 100% certainty what will happen, sir. There's nothing that's happened that can't be mended. Think about what you are doing. I don't want to be hostile to you or make it nasty. But if you take it there, well, that's your choice. Enjoy your weekend. So in the second response, basically, he's already like cucking himself. I mean, it's I have a threat. I'm going to threaten you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm an e-celeb. I'm well known online. You should have heard the stories I told when I was locked up for 8 months for trying to punch a cop. Everyone knew that I was from the internet. No one cared because they didn't have internet in jail, but whatever. And then me like, no, you don't know what will happen if you do this. Please, please think about your daughter. Don't make me do this. Don't make me be the villain. Don't make me be the bad guy. Please, sir. Please, Mr. Vickers, don't do it. Don't. What are you doing? Why? Why, Mr. Vickers? Just think of your daughter. Why don't you? That's what it is. He's absolutely positively at the end of this thing. 100% cucking himself, right? It's like the worst self-own I've ever seen. You try to start off as intimidating. You email his regular email, personal email, then you email, or you email his work email, then you email his non-work email with an extra added bonus threat. And then he pushes back and the response is basically like, you're crying. Like you're crying about, don't force me to do this sort of thing. Like whatever intimidation factor there might have been is gone. I mean, this is some real like limp dick stuff here, dude. There's no balls behind this. It's like a eunuch wrote this. Like really, it's like a eunuch wrote this particular email. It's like they tried real hard to muster the testosterone to make it work. But in the end, they just like looked down and they saw they have no balls. Where are the balls, Ethan? Where are your balls? That is a question. That is a question. John Scott here says he really sounds like Cartman talking tough to Wendy Testaberger while also ducking a fight. Yes, 100%. That's a very astute observation, sir. And I thank you for it. Okay, so Mr. Vickers replies. 4 minutes later, 9:19 a.m. PST. The pleasure of your name, please. 1 minute later, response from Rad Roberts. Nah, have a good one, Matt. Think about what I said and get those anger issues under control before you really mess up. Right? Like, again, all intimidation is gone. All attempt to posture is gone. All attempt at anything is gone. It's like a little boy. Like a little boy that's like, well, you didn't, I'm still going to act tough even though I totally BTFO'd myself. It's a child writing this. No wonder he likes teenagers. Now the reply from Vickers 4 minutes later. My silly friend, I will find out who you are one way or another. And he did. He did. Now, Rad Roberts responds, and I have to give him a little bit of credit for this first opening line here. He says, yeah, you probably will. Because you're seemingly a moron hell-bent on continuing to abuse his daughter. I don't care about you knowing me at all, as I've broken no laws and done nothing wrong. But I won't volunteer any extra information to a guy exhibiting thug behavior. And I love that there, too. Exhibiting thug behavior from the person attempting to anonymously extort a man he's never met. With threats of releasing information about being violent and abusive towards his daughter. Life-ruining stuff. Potentially life-ruining things. But claims to at this point go, I've broken no laws. No, you're attempting extortion, which is probably going to fall under harassment, if not its own criminal code within the state of Virginia. You idiot. Like, you moron. Oh my God. Let me just look. Let me just pause for a quick second. Ethan Ralph is not a tough guy. Ethan Ralph is not a tough guy. Nothing about him oozes any kind of masculinity. Listen to his voice. It sounds like his balls have been kept in a vice grip since prior to puberty. He can't walk up a flight of stairs without almost falling down from pure exhaustion. He's most likely going to suffer some form of cardiac arrest before turning 40. Nothing about him is intimidating outside of the fact that he has the ability to raise his voice on the internet. Well, I can yell over you all, blah, 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 blah. That's all he can do. He can yell. The only thing he's good at is moving his mouth. That's it. That's literally the only serviceable function his entire humanoid organism can produce. It's like a parrot that had some ability to like talk into a microphone. That's about it. Nothing he has is any kind of intimidation. There's no point in his life where he's ever been in a position to intimidate anybody. People say the same thing about me. They try to at least, but no, I've done security for years. Trust me. Intimidation is not something that you always have to use, but knowing how to do it is key to get through certain situations. The right wording, the right tone, the right look, the right body language, sizing up your opponent, sizing up the situation, and looking at it from all aspects. Ethan cucked himself within the second correspondence. It's just the worst game ever played. The worst game ever played. It's terrible. Like, I feel bad for him reading this because you can tell he tried. Like, he's trying to act tough. And it's failing so miserably. It's just failing. Like, he's the worst criminal on the planet. Like I said before, he couldn't even punch a cop. He took a swing. Got him 8 months in jail. Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to this here. So. anyway. He does go on to say this. You will not win this if you make it a pissing match. Ooh, he's already regretting his words. I can guarantee you that. You need to think about your family and your future. You're being quite self-destructive at this pivotal moment in your life. You got to love that, right? The goalpost moving. He's trying to regain control. You know, he's thinking that like he's got his balls back, you know, like he just pulled his finger out and sniffed it, right? You know, like getting back into the game. He's trying, but he's failing miserable because he keeps responding. This is the biggest problem with Ethan. He keeps responding when he's pushed back on. Now, he does say, this is my last message to you, Mr. Vickers. Good luck with your detective work and seriously think about what you're doing. So, good luck with your detective work. I mean, as we've learned yesterday in the timeline of events, Mr. Vickers is quite good at detective work. He can figure this crap out. It's not hard. Most people leave digital footprints of some aspect or another. So, he responds back with, I cannot stop Faith from making her decisions. I have never abused Faith, so obviously, 100% of your information is coming from 50% viewpoint. You may inquire with Faith, sir, that I have many qualities, some good, some not so good. But being a moron has never been something I'm known for. Faith has her life. She's an adult. She's made fantastically stupid decisions. But let that be hers. I will simply not fund her poor decision. She seems to have cut ties with us, so be it. That decision is hers, too. You have misjudged me. You do not know me. You've had a picture painted of me from a no doubt skewed perspective. Take pleasure in your part of destroying a family and a young girl's future. Keep in mind, this is before the tape. Before the tape. I mean, it's like he's almost predicting what's going to happen, you know, like Matthew Damas sort of thing. Because like you can see certain elements of this here already that have already played out. there, you can kind of connect the dots to see how this whole thing was going to play out. We already know the aftermath. Now we're getting the setup. And you can just see, like, you can just see those dominoes fall. And, like, it's ego on both sides, to be fair. Like, I will give it to, I I'm clearly on Vicker's side, but there's ego here. And on Ralph's side, there's always been blind rage, narcissistic ego masked with absolute alcoholism. It's an unstoppable force versus an immovable object. At least that's the concept at play here. But no, that immovable object, oh, it's a paper fucking tiger. And that unstoppable force is a dude in a fucking steampunk fedora. You get what I'm saying here? Anyway. So he responds. This is from Rad Roberts. I keep telling myself I won't respond to you again, but you intrigue me somewhat. There are two sides to every story, I will give you that. And from everything I have heard, you are indeed intelligent in terms of knowing and learning. But the wisdom is what I'm questioning in this moment. Come on, really? Pot meat kettle, dude. Your daughter still loves you. She loves her mother. And she loves her family. I'm quite certain that you all love her. I will apologize for my part in making things worse, but I didn't appreciate you threatening to put a case on her. See, again, this is what he does. This is what he does. This is so Ethan. This is classic Ethan at this point. Lash out, lash out, lash out. Get cucked. Absolutely cucked. And then he'll back down and he'll then try to be reasonable and cordial. This is a disarming tactic that he does to try to get out of trouble. I assume when he was a child and he threw a temper tantrum, which as we can tell from the absolute alcoholic adult he turned into, that temper tantrums are very frequent. That he most likely did a temper tantrum on his mom to the point of where she would just give him whatever he wants. Oh my God. I never really realized it until right now. If it's true, Aid was right. John in the chat was right. Ethan Ralph is fucking Eric Cartman to the T. He is like a literal embodiment of everything Eric Cartman is. Vindictive, petty, abusive, destructive. Oh my God. I never realized that. Really realized that. Master Simp of Kakad here says Gunt Wisdom. I mean, John's here says he literally is Eric Cartman. Holy shit. Hey, what's going on, Nick? How you doing, man? welcome to the party, pal. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Reading this is exactly what Cartman would do. Holy shit. Okay. Let's get back onto this here. Okay. Oh, all right. All right. So he said, okay, so I will apologize for my part. We got to that part. Then he goes on to say, that's exactly the opposite of what you should be doing right now. You're driving your daughter away further. Do you not see that at all? Is there not a part of you that thinks maybe you're approaching this the wrong way? Now, that's the reasonable Ethan coming out, right? That's the reasonable Ethan, because I think he has a point there. I understand what Vickers is doing, but the counter argument back to that is this could have irreparable damages. And so it's like, are you sure you're thinking this through? It is a reasonable response, but from who it's coming from, it comes across as being more manipulative. So it's clearly subjective, not objective. Now, Ethan goes on to say, that I'm glad you have interest in that, or no interest in that, because I have no interest in that myself. You will get any materials you're claiming as yours. They will be mailed to you tomorrow. I'm hoping you take this message in the spirit that it was sent. I'd like to see things cool down. No one benefits from nastiness, sir. Oh my God. You know how we like to joke that, like, for every Donald Trump action, there is a tweet that is the counter of that action? For everything Trump does, there's a tweet that counters it. 100%. This is the same thing. No one benefits from nastiness. Oh, get drunk and release a fucking revenge porn tape. Yeah. No one benefited. 100%. Your own words, Ethan. Oh my fucking God. Holy shit. I haven't read through all these. So I'm literally just reading them all now for the first time. Like, holy shit, that's fucking terrible. And this is all just exchanges over the span of what, like a fucking hour and some change. It started at 9 a.m. Now we're at 10:07 a.m. This has all happened in an hour. Now, this Vicar says here, I appreciate the olive branch and regarding your message did afford me the opportunity to cool down. I do not respond well to threats. So for my own previous nastiness, I extend my apologies as well. I would, if you would indulge me, the answer to a question that does not require your identity. I would be quite grateful. Given the quickness of your response to my earlier threats to her, it seems reasonable to assume that she's within close proximity to you. Did she actually go to Richmond, Virginia to help her friend based on the note that she left? Or did she have other plans that you know of for starting this new life? Any answer would draw no more vitriol from me. I just would like to know where my daughter, or that my daughter is and will be safe, which is a very reasonable request. Now, granted, the way he's framing it like he sets it up as like, I apologize for my own nastiness, right? Which then would counter or would complement Ethan's subduing of the situation, right? His de-escalation tactics, because he's already cucked himself, so he already lost. But now he's trying to de-escalate it in order to make it cordial. So Vickers sets up this line of questioning that would further explain who Rad Roberts is and would further then give him the information to identify who he is and the identity of or identify where Faith is. You know, like he's phrasing it like, well, I'm not going to use any of this information, but I'd like to know it sort of thing. And the key is if you compliment somebody, the likelihood of them oversharing something, it's pretty fucking high. So, you know, they don't shut down, they open up. So now what we're seeing here is a situation where both parties have admitted fault, but Vickers is still the dominant one, you know, and Ralph is almost kind of like presenting himself, if we're talking about it from just like a nature, procreation situation. Anyway, now Ethan responds with a few minutes later, I'm very glad to have received that last email. I can be quick to anger myself, so I get it. I would most likely be angry as well in your position. Faith's side is hers to tell, but I will say with 100% certainty that she is safe. Oh my God. Jesus fucking Christ. No. No, no. Virtue is gone. Privacy is gone. That so many things are gone. What? So many quotes from this have like null and void like the next week. Now he says here, I can say that for a fact with no question in my mind. I can also say that I will make sure she remains that way. I won't go into proximities, but you're a smart guy. I'm not trying to be a smartass, but it's not my story to tell. But he went at him that it was his story to tell, that he would take this information and he would then expose that information. Now he's de-escalated and he has presented himself to be dominated by Mr. Vickers. By trying to now weasel out of the situation. That's what it is. Now, a few minutes later, Vickers responds. Thank you for that. Please relay that she has my assurances that the situation will not be further escalated, but that I would very much like to tell her a story. Or tell her story. Or very much like her to tell her story. Okay, my bad. We could find no records of flights from SMF to RIC that departed on Thursday. I think that's Sacramento to Richmond. We are not going to come look for her. We have no legal position to make her do anything. Doubtful, I have to tell you, that we have four other children, a business, Ariana's health, etc. to deal with. I think that's Mrs. V. He should have changed that. But we would very much like to hear what her actual and full story is. I'm pretty sure I already know what's going on. But that's my story to tell. Winky face emoji. Okay, so then a few minutes later, Ethan gets back to him and says, I've passed along everything you said to Faith. I'll also add that there were several flights from SMF to IAD on Thursday. It's about 2 hours from Richmond. I know about your situation. Certainly, I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize that. And I'm very appreciative of the de-escalation. So he comes in with all these threats. He cucks himself. He then goes to de-escalate the situation. Dude, he's such the beta. He's such the beta. What power does he have here? There's no power here. I mean, absolutely is just like, is just showing his asshole. Please, please pound me, sir. Pound me for my mistakes. I came at you. I was wrong. Pound me. Just do it. That's what he's doing right now. It's just a fact. Just the truth. It's so the truth. I mean, at this point, all Mr. Vickers has to do is be like a stern father figure to Ralph, and he would leave Faith and move to freaking California. Now, Vickers does respond back a minute later and says, "Very good, thank you." And then the next day, or the next reply after we confirm his identity, which is, I believe, the next day. "Mr. Ralph, man to man, is your relationship with my daughter romantic or platonic?" And then the last response came directly from his RalphRetort.com email, saying, "As you may as well email me on my main now, LOL. I really wish Faith would tell her story because it feels like that's the appropriate order of operations. But you asked me man to man, so yeah, it's romantic. I wasn't dodging the response, by the way. I've been kind of behind today with checking stuff, ER. Hereafter, there have been no more anonymous communications from the Gunt, and future communications will be released later." Oh my God, future correspondences, because they've been in constant contact. They've all been in constant contact with each other the entire time. They've been in constant contact. I mean, we're talking text messages. We're talking, like, you know, probably voicemails. We're talking all of these things that they have been completely in contact with. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get messages from Faith. I'm sure we're going to see messages from fucking, you know, from Ralph on, like, more things. I want to read where he, when she's in the hospital and the correspondence between them, because he kept talking to him. Like, I want to read the correspondence where he denies releasing the tape. Because we all know he denied releasing it. He didn't even mention it on his show as being anything at fault. Holy crap. All right. So I'm going to be on for maybe another 45 minutes because I have the DC fandom in the morning. But I'm dropping the StreamYard link. You guys can come on in. I want to hear your thoughts on this, though. But let me just get a quick drink of water. Someone had complained that I had drunk water right into the microphone, and they were like, "Oh my God, it's disgusting." Okay, hold on. Let me. I want to make sure also that perhaps Ethan might have called and my phone just didn't get it. One sec. Nope, I don't see a phone call. Call Ethan. What are you doing? Come on, what is this? It's sad. It's pathetic, kind of. Right? He can call me when he wants to talk, but not when I want to talk. It's a very one-sided relationship. Right? Kind of sad. Okay. So yeah, let's take a look at the chat. Andy Simite says, "Cartman is everyone's favorite character. That isn't a comparison you want to make for your intention to make fun of him. Cartman is the shit." Cartman is everyone's favorite character because they want to see how diabolical he'll go, but they also know that he'll always fail. That's the whole part of Cartman. Cartman is like watching a train wreck in motion. It's voyeuristic, is all it is. People don't like Cartman because they quote unquote like Cartman. You're analyzing it all wrong. Yeah, Fat J, StreamYard is it's a streaming service, but it's for people who want to call in from like their phone or call in and not use Discord, because Discord can get a little complicated. Where not everyone is on Discord. Oh wow, holy shit. Fuck, dude. All right. I'm gonna go through this real quick. We got a bunch of people in here. Okay, cool. So a light in the darkness. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you now. How's it going, man?
Oh, good. How about you?
It's been a fun read.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Faith's dad. with the whole website. It seems pretty, like I'm a father myself. I would never do something like that as far as, I don't know. It takes a certain mind to make an entire website about drama with your children.
It does. But, so I agree with you. Like, I don't think I would ever do something like that, you know, cause I have my two kids but there's a, if you think about it for a second, when they first encountered each other on Twitter, Ethan was saying things like, I just got done going balls deep in your daughter. And when they went out there and she was lying to them, and Ralph was telling them, at least this is his side of the story. Ralph has not confirmed this yet, but his side of the, you know, Vicar's side was saying, like, Ralph was like, I'm going to tell her to go home with you. I'm going to break up with her. I'm going to break it off with her. And then he never did. And then he released the tape. This is a father who wants to get vengeance, and he's using it. He's using the one thing that can truly hurt Ethan, and that's the internet.
Yeah, but it's kind of at the expense of your daughter, almost. Like it seems like there's a vendetta, and then there's like using. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I would be devoting all my resources to more of like a legal behind the scenes, like. You know what I mean? Like, I understand him having a social media presence to kind of keep tabs, because if there's no other way he can be in contact with her, but it just comes off like completely just dysfunctional to me. Like, there's a certain level of insanity that everybody involved has that I think for the sake of like internet laughs, everybody's like, yeah, but you know, if you step back for a second, you're like, this is absolutely insane. Like, there's a dad that made a website. Like, this isn't the first time in history some dirtbag has banged, like, a dad's daughter. But I'm sure other dads have handled it a lot more effectively.
But, well, true. And then, I agree with you. But to counter the point, though, have we been in a situation where it's all been put out there on the internet in the way that it has?
I mean, because the other thing is, too, is this is, like a sphere that, it's like a niche, like to everybody watching it, it's the world, but to the greater like public, like that nobody knows about this. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
sorry, go ahead.
Like shit like this, this has happened. But the whole problem I have too, is like even the boyfriend, Chris, like the guy admitted that he saw pictures of her when she was 16.
And he sent photos of himself to her as well.
That right there is like, I mean, I don't know what to say.
No, like it's some crazy shit. It's some crazy shit. It's not like, the thing is, I think people need to realize as well is like, this is, those actions, they're not uncommon, you know, like they're not uncommon. Like you hear about this kind of stuff all the time of kids, especially in the Snapchat world. You know, social media, Instagram, private chat shit happens a lot. It's never good, but it's not something that's uncommon. And so I think but when it comes to light, it's like that. Still, it's that whole, whoa, this is bad. You should never do that sort of thing. And I completely agree. But here's the thing, though. So you have to understand, like, yeah, I think you have to look at it from Vicar's mindset. So the website is clearly an attack on Ethan. It's going to go after his ego. It's going to get into the SEO. If you Google Ethan Ralph, you're going to find this. I mean, and there's a lot you'll find if you Google Ethan Ralph. So there's a lot there that's happening with it. But
I know a decent amount about Ethan Ralph. It's just what I'm saying is like it's coming off as vindictive on a personal level and using, you know what I'm saying? Like there's
but it's kind of personal. It is personal. It is really personal. Like this guy destroyed his daughter's virtue.
Yeah, but he's further perpetuating his daughter's like misery by making this website, and we're all looking at it, laughing at it, calling her all kinds of stuff.
Well, I've said she's manipulative, but I think I've been relatively fair. You know, my take on it is that she manipulated people, and there's probably more we don't know about, but we probably will as this thing escalates. But there's a line that gets kind of brought up in regards to Ethan, and I think it came from like a Discord conversation between him and Gator or something he had said. And maybe it's just a meme somebody made up. So if I'm wrong, please correct me. But he had said like something like they're trying to like psychologically break me. Like I'd heard that in relation to him, and I think I've seen like a Discord screenshot, but I don't know how true it is.
Ralph is just he's I mean, I grew up around people like this. Like he's an alcoholic. I mean, I've had family, but it's just his he's never going to break out of that loop. I mean, he could, you know, God bless him. I hope he does, but he's an addict, and he's just going to keep driving further and further down this hole until, I mean, I don't think he's going to, you know, off himself or anything, but I think that his world is being, he's been comfortable for a while, you know, with like his little niche on the internet.
Yeah.
And I think that it's one of those things, like when you present yourself as untouchable for so long, or, you know, not even untouchable, but like people are gunning for them. People that don't really even have an interest in them now are hearing about it and like, hey, fuck it. Like, I'm going to, you know, throw my hat in the ring.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, you don't get to his position without making a lot of enemies. And now, I mean, but now what he has is he's got someone who's laser focused on him. Now, I do think that while these are funny to read and they give us a complete transparent insight into the situation, it's not our situation. We are exceptionally voyeuristic people.
Yeah, no, it is.
And so I
mean, calling in and talking to somebody about this is like a partial insanity.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, shit.
Yeah, but
no, it's definitely a thing where I mean, like, I get he's going to war and he's mad and he's going to use everything he can to hurt Ethan without physically hurting him. And I mean, like, this is one of those things where it's like if Ethan just would have shut his mouth and he wouldn't have acted in the way that he did, and not just the sex tape, but like everything else surrounding it. And, you know, and everything else, I'm all like, if you want to talk about karma, if you believe in that sort of thing, if you believe in comeuppance, if you know, this is the most karmic thing that could ever happen to Ethan, because it's either going to kill him or force him to go into rehab. That's just the truth of it. He'll either continue to drink because he's trapped by this girl. Because think about it like this, right? This is, you know, when she found out about the revenge porn, what did she do? She, according to Vickers, she continuously called Ethan at every possible time. Anytime she could call him, she called him. And then she wanted to stay with him. So if a girl like that, who we know manipulates people, she manipulated her father, Ethan, and Chris, and I'm sure there's more. At that moment, I cannot help but ponder, did she think, I've got him? Subconsciously, consciously, I don't know. But did she think at some point, I've got what I want?
Yeah, but like the other thing too is I kind of don't like is how I agree. He's wrong. He's wrong for dating her, period. Legal or not, she's still a teenager. And I just think it's morally wrong. I won't even go down the legal thing. It's for somebody his age, there's a profound lack of something within himself that he's even dating a girl like this. And then on top of that, people went from saying, oh, which I agree. Oh, he's dating a teen. This is horrible. To now we're comfortable with calling her like an absolute lunatic and she's insane, which she might be, but she's still a teenager to me. And I'm like, to me, she's mentally ill.
Yeah. And she needs help. She does need help. I completely agree. Yep. I think everyone in this situation needs help. Everyone in this scenario needs actual therapy from trained professionals, not the internet peanut gallery. You know, because Vickers has to learn to cope with the situation. He has to learn. He needs coping strategies in order to deal with this. Ralph needs help in regards to breaking his addiction, and Faith needs help in regards to overcoming her anxiety and her depression, which leads her to then become, I don't want to sit there and say that she is because of that. She is the way she is, but she's also got those other issues in regards to manipulation, sociopathic behavior, narcissistic behavior. And so everyone needs help. And I'm a big advocate for mental health, by the way. So, like, I think everyone, you, me, everyone should go see somebody. But this is where we find three people that are just in absolute different mental states on the warpath against one another. And the thing is, Vickers has got Ethan running scared. Because Vickers, if you watch, he is going to establish a narrative through these posts that sets up the idea that Ralph is now beholden to Faith. And that Ralph is now afraid if she leaves him, or if she wants, she could send him to jail. And if he creates that narrative in enough people's minds, then the idea there is to psychologically break him. The idea there is to psychologically disrupt his audience. Because all it takes is for some people to call in the show to start asking those questions repeatedly, for Ralph to get triggered, to start mass blocking those pay piggies. And then you get a full on revolt on the Killstream audience, which then leads to the fall of the Killstream. This is the thing. This is a long play. What he's doing is Vickers is absolutely poisoning the well to take out someone who's emotionally unstable, an alcoholic, chemical dependent person dating an 18-year-old, because he fucked with the wrong dude. And that's what we're going to see with this. It's crazy.
It goes like, everybody is attributing what they feel is their motives, but I don't know. I kind of go Occam's razor, like the dad's weird. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
I get it, dude. I get it. I get your point. Yeah.
Like, my crap to the dad. Going full, like, you know, Magnum PI on this dude, and he's like, you know, setting up all. But I mean, yeah, apart from that, I think the bigger over dick masters and all these dudes, like this incestuous group, and like kind of cultivated.
Yeah, I'm losing you pretty bad right now.
Allowed just to kind of fester, and
You're cutting it out pretty bad. Okay, there he goes. But thank you very much for coming on in, dude. I really appreciate it. Call back in again. I know StreamYard gets a little wonky if you're on mobile devices, but it's the best thing I've got for right now. All right, Ear Juice, what's up, buddy?
Yo, what's done?
What's going on? Hell of a night, huh?
Yeah. There you go. Oh, first of all, I didn't know that you and Drummer actually chatted. I only just found out. So,
oh, yeah. That was an interesting experience, to say the least.
Because I tried to set that up, but Drummer said no, he wouldn't talk to you. So I was like, okay. So I just
He hit me up this morning on Twitter, and he's all like, oh, they won't talk, Andy and Ralph, like, they won't talk to you, but I'll talk to you. And I'm like, okay. And then he said, like, I accept his DM request on Twitter. And he like sends me a DM, and he just goes like, I don't like to wait. And I'm like, I don't care. I have to put my children down for a nap. Like, what the fuck is this shit? You know, like, he literally came at this like in DMs before we even set anything up. But like, I don't want to wait, Matthew. Why are you making me wait, Matthew? You know, like, I don't know you, dude. Like, what is this shit? And then then if you listen to it, because he deleted his stream, by the way, he was streaming on Bitwave. And then I found this out after the fact because people went looking into it, and he deleted his stream because he's also.
Because he may not have set it up to archive, because on Bitwave he have.
Yeah,
to
he maybe not. I don't know. I mean, maybe not. But I just find it to be funny that he came at me like really hard, and I'm all like, I push back a bit because that's what I do.
Mm.
And it was funny. It had turned into be a productive conversation because we talked about some theories surrounding potential alleged money laundering with certain political parties and YouTube.
Yeah.
So,
well, there you go.
There, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. So, did you talk about the college friend and all of that? I'll have to go back and watch it then.
He tried. What was funny about that is he was trying to say, like, you know, like this guy was like, oh, he had things to say about you. And I'm all like, yeah, but I told him, like, you didn't know this guy.
Mm.
Like, I knew this guy, and there's a reason why none of us talk to this guy anymore. You know, like, there's a reason why after we graduated in 2007, a couple years later, a bunch of us moved up to LA. He did not.
Mm.
And he admitted to me when I asked him if he was the one talking to people, because he didn't tell me he was. He deflected when I asked him directly. So, you know, honorable person with honorable intentions telling honorable stories about Matt Jarboe doesn't tell me he actually had a conversation with the person who was doing this interview, right? Or that he reached out. Yeah. I didn't know that. So then after the interview today, somebody, because I actually did accuse Drummer of being a gun guard and being one of the first simps, because he was on both fronts. You know, he bought a Matt No t-shirt from Ralph. He gave Ralph money. He defended him. Someone sent me 3 minutes of
him. He went
him.
Down to Knoxville. And stuff like
and he's
that.
Wearing the No shirt, partying with them. And he's trying, you know, like, it was like, dude, just admit, like, you wanted to fit in. It's fine. I'm going to establish a timeline here. But then someone sent me an audio clip tonight of him on the kill stream talking about trying to set up that interview and like how he's like, oh, I love Gator. I love Zidane. I love Ralph. And it's like, dude, I, you know, like I found it to be funny because he's trying to downplay how connected he was to it. And it's like, dude, all this shit's out there. Like, just own up to the fact that you were friends with these people. And then now you're not friends with these people and you still want to come talk to me. And then he did this weird thing where he's like, well, I'm allowing you time to talk to me or some shit. And I'm like, what the fuck is, like, he came in with this massive chip on his shoulder, like this massive, insane chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. That's what I felt was weird. Like, because the first time we chatted was on the Gump stream, right? And I recorded it and I put it up on SoundCloud and Drama found it and he got bits out of it and then pulled me in for an interview on his channel. And he just seemed very, oh, but Matt's still this, Matt's still that. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, you know, it's been a long time. Like, it's not like he really did. You know, he said he didn't flag me. So apart from that, like, you know, why would I hold a personal grudge sort of thing? But he just seemed very, you know, not, I'm still anti Matt.
Well, my interpretation of the conversation from the beginning and how he acted on, you know, trying to set it up and whatever was that he was I personally feel like he was attempting to get me in some kind of gotcha again.
Mm.
Right. And then use it as kind of like either a trophy for a video or a way to get back in with Ethan. Because
he wouldn't try and get back.
I don't know, man. I know
Drama pretty well. So,
all I'm saying is when you are presented with an opportunity to regain past relationships that you feel you were unfairly tossed out of, and you can potentially serve somebody up, motivations are real, motherfucker. And it's not hard to see what people are up to when you look at when you look at what they do in general. Now, like I don't give a shit about Drummer. Like I could live a very happy, fulfilled life, never talking to the guy again, because I feel he's as disingenuous as he claims I am. The difference is that, like, I'm still willing to have conversations and he's willing to have conversations. And so there is a plus on that front. But like, if you listen to the conversation, he came in, well, cause his first side of it was like, he started streaming and then like called me before I had set up my stream. And so I was already trying to like, fumble through. I'm like, all right, let me just get my shit set up real quick because I wasn't ready. He was trying to catch me off guard. He was trying to force me into something before I was situated to get there. Right. So he was already being very aggressive going into the conversation. And I think I'm just like, that's why I pushed back the way I did, because there was that aggression. Like, there wasn't good faith to go into this. There was no good faith argument. There was no or good faith behavior on his part going in. So that's a lot of this. That's why I'm like, there's an ulterior motive here. And if you look at Occam's razor, that's like the only explanation is like, you're either trying to gain more fame because your channel is kind of dying, or, you know, and you want to go back to his videos on me did really well. So he wants to get more content on me, catch me in some kind of flub in order to use it against me or something like that. Like, that's how I looked at it.
Yeah, I think he would just be like, he still has obviously negative feelings towards you. It's like, he did this wrong thing. He's not going to get over that. He got quite invested in it because he interviewed your friend and
yeah.
And
well,
he would have probably made a video about it, put it in this.
This
show.
Needs That's to fucking let it go. Jesus fucking Christ, dude. For one, he had nothing to do with any of it outside of interjecting himself by bringing in someone from my college days. And two, I don't know this fucking guy. I don't care about this fucking guy. I chatted with him to be cordial and he came in like he was trying to fucking like flex his fucking muscle at me. And I'm like, what are you, like fucking 13? You know, like, I don't know you. I don't give a shit about you. Don't come at me like that. If you want to have a conversation, let's actually have a conversation. So
yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's it. That's the truth of it.
I get that part.
Yes. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on Drummer. I don't want to give him more time than I necessarily have to.
Yeah. Oh, the only other thing I'd say is, like, he's the first YouTube friend I really, that I actually make contact with. So I've been friends with him for fuck knows how long now.
No, that's fucking fine, man. Time. You know?
Yeah. So, but as far as him and going back to Ralph and that, no, because I remember the day that I left, I was a Patreon in the mods server and all of that shit when the pedo bus stream was going down, the Gunt was fucking up and letting his Patreons getting doxxed and then letting people into the Discord chat to have to screenshot Patreon's reaction. So I went and told Drummer this and he didn't believe me, then went out and found the information for himself and then did his famous bike vlog riding around saying, you know, Ralph, you need to get help. And that was it. So as far as he's not a Gunt guard, he was like, well, I guess I wasn't really a Gunt guard back then because I didn't need to be one because Ralph was on top of his game sort of thing. And then it all fell apart. He jumped at the same time.
Well, yeah. I mean, but like yeah. that was the whole point I was trying to ascertain, that you could tell he was trying to push back on. I'm like trying to establish a timeline here of like you were his quote unquote friend. Mm. You went to these events. You did all these things. You paid money for a T-shirt. You called into the show. You were an active element of this experience. So
yeah, I was. So like,
you were too, but
it.
It's like, but you don't deny it. He was attempting to deny it. He was attempting to downplay his own very public experiences that are known by trying to go, well, why are you watching me, Matt? Why do you know what I'm doing? I'm like, people tell me things, and then every once in a while, I pay attention. You know, and I'm really good at like logging information. I'm a data-driven individual. Like people hate that about me because I pay attention. Mm. And it's like, I'm like, dude, you know, like I don't care. Like you're not friends with him now. So why are you, you know, why are you getting so defensive over the fact that you were friends with him a year ago or up until a couple weeks ago? And now you're talking to me and you came to me. So what do you want? You know, like there's that. You got, again, it's all motivations, dude. It's all motivations. There wasn't good faith. In the beginning, I think there was good faith towards the end. I think when he realized he had nothing and we were able to pivot the conversation into something more interesting, then it became a conversation once the animosity went away. But that doesn't do away with what happened in the beginning or how he acted in the beginning. Mm. So, you know, and it's like, I think that's a lot of what it boils down to, you know, and it's all, I get it, dude. Like he's probably butthurt over the whole Ralph thing and he's just mad at it. And I get it. I've lost friends. I get it. You know, I've had people lie about me. I get it. But if you're looking for like to converse with the quote unquote enemy, you know, like what would be the purpose of it? You know, I that's what I don't get. Like what's the fucking purpose? So anyway,
well, there'd be a reason for it'd be like, you know, I want to go on Rambot's show just to pick his brain over his insane fucking arguments.
Well, that's true, but I think you would go in with an actual good faith attempt, right?
Oh yeah, like, and I'd be respectful. Yeah,
yeah. When you go in and you're like, "Well, you fucking destroyed your own career 2 years ago," and you lead with that, like he led with that. This isn't like this wasn't like it came up in conversation. This was like I'm going to hit you with this piece right now. Try to throw you off your game in order for what purpose, I don't know, which is exactly why I had to counter that with, well, you were one of his Gunt guards. You were one of his simps, because then that threw him on the defensive. And then he kept trying to really defend it because I struck a nerve. Hmm. And it's like, this is the whole thing is like, I'm not trying to be a dick. I was willing to have a conversation. We had a conversation, but when you're going to come at me like that shit, I'm not the same asshole I was 2 years ago, you know? And I think that's pretty fucking apparent at this point. Like, I'm not the same asshole. Like, you come at me, I will fucking come back. I don't have an issue with that shit. And that's where we are. So
yeah, I remember Joy Sparkles famously said about you 2 years ago, Matt always does the same thing. He shit talks behind your back. Then he gets called out for it. He apologizes. Then he'll go away and shit talk again.
Yeah.
It got pretty well known.
Well, you know, I've criticized. Sometimes it was light criticism. It was usually light criticism. There are people that I don't like, but I'll be honest, I don't like them anyway. I'm not going to fucking sugarcoat my words. But there was a lot of shit that was like that came out, and people did misconstrue certain things. But when it comes to Joy Sparkle, my God, yeah, fuck her. You know, do you know what she's doing now? She's back. Ah. Joy Sparkle is back. Here's what she's doing. She's under her original name, Katie. She's not Joy Sparkle anymore. So she's hiding from that. But she is trying to capitalize on the COVID panic here in the United States by making videos like how she normally makes her videos, where she does like 15 a day, talking about the stimulus package, because the stimulus package is one of the most hot topics right now. There's this dude like I watch, because he talks about it daily. He'll drop a video and he'll have like 200,000 views in the first hour. You know, like fuck, the dude is already almost at 1 million subscribers after like 3 months. So this guy is like making, he's fucking rolling in cash right now. And so that's what a lot of people are doing, these daily stimulus updates, because people are trying to find information. So it's just carpetbagging. I mean, Joy is carpetbagging. This other guy, he's an actual accountant, you know, he's an actual professional talking about it. So it's not carpetbagging. But when you've got a person who doesn't have any understanding of any actual facet of adult life, never mind personal hygiene, going out there talking about the fucking stimulus. No, fuck that shit. Like, it's just stupid.
Yeah. And so it's just to try and get the views on a popular topic. That's what you're sort of saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the YouTube game, but it's like, eventually this will end. Eventually the stimulus stuff will go away. And then what you're left with is an audience of people that don't care about your personality, because they didn't come here for your personality. And that's going to be then when she ends up doing something to implode that channel as well. And then she starts making like 50,000 Onision videos over there. And everyone's like, I came here to learn about finance. Who's this pedo fuck out of fucking Seattle? What are you talking about? Yeah. You know,
the grift goes on.
Grift goes on. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. But hey, man, I'm going to let you go.
Well, so do you think that, like, from 2 years ago, that would have been a mistake that you would have made? Like, that was just sort of where you sort of went wrong? I don't know. I mean,
say that again.
Like 2 years ago, do you think that's a mistake you kind of made, where you were trying to jump on things and then it sort of, the Gamergate stuff sort of died out?
Well, yes and no. So, yes, because it's like, you know, what happened was the Gamergate stuff turned into anti-SJW stuff. And I was already doing like anti-feminist content prior to Gamergate. But then when the two kind of got lumped together, you kind of followed the trend, right? And so what happened was, I would wake up in the morning and I would look to see, like, you know, what's happening with SJWs on college campuses. What do I think is going to make me angry? And therefore, what would make other people angry? And living in that world, that's a very toxic existence. Right. Like, for example, so you got to find your way out of that. Like tonight I was watching, as I was making deliveries, I was watching YouTube videos about like 4K video reviews. Cause I want to start reviewing, like, I have a ton of Blu-rays and I want to like dive into them and shit like that. And so like, I was watching this one guy and he's talking about like the new Psycho 4K 60th anniversary edition. And like, he was just geeking out on fucking Psycho, dude. Right. Like just geeking out on this movie. And I'm all like, fuck yeah. You know? I'm like, fuck yeah. I was like into it. I was into this review of this fucking 4K, because it's like, for one, it's not toxic. It's something I love. For two, three, it's like, it's a disc review of a movie that I've seen a bunch, but it was like the passion behind what he was talking about, his enthusiasm for what he was talking about. That's positive. That's positive. This shit that we do is not positive. It's entirely encrusted in anger, cynicism, nihilism, and destructive forces.
Oh yeah, for sure. I ran the collectible. I used to run the stream called The Collectible Show, where we talked about trading cards and comics and people's Warhammer collections, because just to try and get away from drama. And then it just overtook everything. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm either going to go totally normie, or I'm just going to go down the road
Yeah.
With Hef and Stretch, and we're going to do the thing. And so we ended up just going down the drama road. But yeah, there's consequences of doing that. That's for sure. That's why I was so hesitant in doing it.
Well, I mean, I've been tempted to like look into like what can I review from home sort of thing. That's like something fun. And I enjoy reading comics, but I've never like gotten to doing comic reviews. But then right before I went live tonight, someone sends me like, I get a message request on through DM on Twitter. I don't know this guy. He's a new follower. And he just goes like, hey, you going to read that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic, that The Last Ronin? Like just fucking out of the blue. And I'm all like, actually, yeah, I was going to read it. And he's all like, oh, dude, thankfully someone I could talk to about this. And I'm like, holy shit, man. Like fucking that's great. Cause like, I'm kind of in the same boat, like people to talk to about this stuff, to geek out about this shit. Like to me, that's more fun. And, you know, and I mean, like doing this, I enjoy the Boulder Talk Radio. I'm like realizing that I'm spending a lot of time dealing with Ralph, and I know it's funny and I'm enjoying that, but it's like, I also don't want it to be the staple of everything.
Yeah.
Because eventually this saga is going to end. This chapter is going to close. Net Historian is going to do his video if he's not already planning it. You know, like everyone's going to be talking about it, and then it's going to be over. And I don't want to build this whole thing around just the Ethan Ralph drama, because while it's funny, it's short-lived, and that's where I think like a lot of us are on YouTube is stuck, because you know, like even you know Tommy C, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Tommy C was like he's got his main channel and he's got his news channel, and during the Onision drama a few months ago, he went up a fuckload of new subs because he kept talking about Onision. And I tuned into one video, and he goes like, well, I'm probably going to stop talking about Onision, which is going to suck because that's what a lot of these new subs want to watch. And there's just not much talking about that. And he's very self-aware of the fact that in this scenario, if you don't keep harping on it and keep talking about it, people are going to lose interest because they don't want variety on the fucking channel. They don't.
None.
They don't want variety. They want
none.
Very strict types of content. And that's the thing that faces most of us is most of us have varied interests and we want to talk about varied interests, but we follow the path of least resistance, which is usually the fucking money. And it's did you see that quartering video that came out yesterday?
No,
the quartering. I don't watch him, so. It was someone put together. He was like live streaming while he was pissed drunk and it was bad. Like he's all like, if I win this round, you got to give me like 50 subs. You know, and you could just visibly, he's just drinking more and he's playing Fall Guys and he's just going down this pathway. And it's like he does this kind of destructive shit and people clip it and they share it and they watch it. And then they wait for him to become the next lolcow. They wait for him to do something that's going to then trigger that avalanche that he's not going to be able to shrug off. Because there are people out there that very much want to see somebody burn. I've been in that position. I felt the brunt of that. And I see it happening to certain people. And like I said earlier, and I stand by it. If Ralph, as much as I hate the guy and I fucking despise him, if he called me and legitimately wanted to have a conversation about this kind of shit, I would do it. I would honestly do it. Because if anything,
it wouldn't be a honest conversation though.
I think he'd be privately recording it and put it on his Patreon that PPP and Godwinson would just stream snipe later on. That'd be the whole thing. But no, I mean, I'd be legit on that front because I'm a genuine person on that angle. I don't know if he is. I think he has it absolute rock bottom to even kind of get to that point.
Nah, and he pushes narratives as well, you know, it's just full of shit, so
yeah,
it's going to be very disingenuous, the whole conversation.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a let's yell over each other at a certain point. Because if it doesn't go very well from him, that's where it's going.
Yeah. It's
And then you got Worski that won't talk to you, but will happily crash a plane into you. And then they cope. Did you see the video I made?
I saw the video.
AIDS Moby's word for word verbatim. Saying things that Kitty Styles used, this lolcow, a Bitwave lolcow and Streamy lolcow, used to say. It's like, oh, shit on you. You know.
What was it? Like, Kraut saw that today and he thought that was really, really Kyler. So he like,
He puts out a tweet with it in there, and he like he sends it to me, and he's like, "Dude, did you see this?" And I'm all like, "That's not Kyler talking. That's not somebody else. It's somebody else. I don't know who it is, but it's somebody else." You know,
and I replaced like, the I did, but I was replacing the words, but the same things were sort of said.
Yeah,
and
it, yeah.
And some of the words, okay, I replaced them, but Kyler has said that shit. What I should do is a side by side comparison of Kitty spurging out and then this AIDS Moby dude fucking coping on a show. Because Matt Jarboe dared ask them to call up or let him on the show. Well, and they just want to have their fun. They don't do drama, but they want to have fun by prank calling you. It's just so stupid. And they're just sitting there coping. And they're on their great show, which they tell you is the best show ever. Well, every show I've watched of theirs, they spend at least half an hour explaining the rules of the fucking chat. You know, oh, well, if you're going to send a ninja genie, it has to be this, but don't put this in it. It better be this, or we might not like it. And then we're going to mute you from chat. And if you don't like that, if you say anything that's too A-loggy, then you're doing this. And to get unbanned from that chat, well, you can't come over to my stream. You have to do it on Twitter or Discord. And it's like, yeah, this is, what is this? Like, what are you guys doing? What is this show? Like, and Worski, I don't know what his thing is with finding co-hosts that are, the most milquetoasty, the most milquetoast, but the most talkative, the most the most spurgy and ego driven, and then the most lawless faggots ever going. While they love to give their opinion on law that's happened, that's Worski's co-hosts in a nutshell. Every single one of them. It's just I don't know.
It's yeah, horrible. It's. All I'll say is this, man. I really miss Chris Worski. Like, Chris Worski was good. I like Chris Worski a lot. He was a nice guy. We hung out at VidCon a couple years ago, and he was a good
dude. That's true. Yeah,
he was there. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, so he was a good guy.
Yeah, because Failure was saying some stuff about him.
Yeah, Failure, and I like Failure too. I like Failure. Failure's a nice guy. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's a real, you know.
He definitely does. Yeah,
he's a super nice guy. We actually were talking a while back, because like I got him into doing DoorDash and Uber Eats as well, so we were like sharing like war stories about like this shit, because he does it in Miami, I do it out here in Washington, and so we're just like sharing like stories of like the crazy shit that we come across. So you know, it's pretty funny. I like him quite a bit.
Yeah, no, it's just he's doing really well. He just won't come on. Like, he'll still talk to you in Discord and in private, like, and he'll call you up randomly and stuff, but he won't. He just won't come out and do live streams or anything anymore, because he's just all the hate that he seems to get, and I don't even see it. I was like, what hate? I don't see any hate. Like, he's like, no, it's there, these people hate me, and he just can't handle it. Like, he takes it so personally. And so
I mean, like, it sometimes, you know, after a while, I think after the Tonka burnout and then going over to Andy and then that implosion, it kind of like Failure was kind of migrating through different groups of people, and then as a result of that kept getting more shit and more shit and more shit. And after a while, dude, that shit will fuck with you. It will fuck with you. You know, you have to find a way to move past it. You have to find a way to cope with it. I mean, even my therapist was all like, she was like, so why are you here? I'm like, because I fucking, you know, like, I have a weird existence. And then she's all like, so what you need is you need to learn how to cope. My therapist told me that. She's like, you need to learn how to cope. I'll teach you some coping strategies.
Oh, well, Worski needs to go to that therapist then.
Yeah. God, yeah. He needs to also get a fucking haircut, the hippie. I just want to
well,
like
he's
I
becoming just, trans. Just wait. Yeah, 2 months. And, from
Andrea
now, it'll come out with the trans. Well, I'm trans, guys.
Nah, he's gonna come out as trans. And he's gonna call himself Melanie, and then we're not gonna see his sister again.
Yeah, that's
he'll it. Be like, I'm in Portugal, but I don't know where Melanie went. But I now have all of her clothes and all of her stuff, and I have her identification. You know, that's the thing. I just want to fuck with him a bit. I just want to start going like, I just want to get like, if I could, I just want to get his number. I just want to call him. And I just want to this whisper and go, I'm coming for that man bun Worski. I'm coming for you. And that's it. And like leave it at that and then watch him just like freak out. Because he would freak out at that shit.
Well, make sure you record it and then like hype it up. I've got the biggest prank phone call, guys. Watch tonight. I'm only gonna play it at the end of my stream, of course. Oh, it's so good, guys. Trust me. And then it's like this 30-second voicemail or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've held up your time, and I didn't even come out. I was going to talk about this Rad Roberts stuff, but it didn't actually.
Real quick, give me your take on it, real quick.
It is so juicy. There is just so much shit here. Like, seriously, like, it's just so much craziness going on. So much info is coming out. Where usually, even just part of this, like a part of a release DM, was saying, would get everybody going wild and talking about it. And there's just thing after thing. It's just amazing that Ralph, with the timeline and everything that was going on, that Ralph is really sticking up for Faith, even though he knows exactly where she is headspace-wise, with all the hospital and everything going on. And he's just telling the dad, after being horrible to him on Twitter, then in private, in text messages and stuff, is saying, no, I'm going to take back Faith, you know. Understand that you're family, but you know, fuck you guys. I really want this horrible teenager around that's just been going through a super rebellious phase. I mean, that's all it really is. It just seems like a teenager doing teenage shit to the nth degree. Like they were homeschooled, so they're a bit behind mentally or socially. I mean, sorry, and then. Calling Faith a potato. No. Like socially, they're a bit behind. So now they're all of a sudden they got their freedom, and it's just this rebellious nature, and she's really fucking it up, like stealing possessions and just going out of there, and then just expecting them to come down and get her and spend all this money on her, and then she just doesn't like what they have to say. It wasn't supportive enough. Yeah. So no, I'm just going to go back to Ralph. Or, you know, oh, this hurts too much. It hurts too much. Your family is too hard pile because I fucked it up so badly that now that they're here trying to be supportive, they've also got a few questions and they're also pretty upset. That's too hard pile. What I'll do is I'll go back to Ethan Ralph. He's there open arms, 34 years old, open arms, just thinking that this is a totally normal and a totally appropriate sort of situation to be in, where he's not like, hey, wait a minute, nah, I'm going to cut this off, or, you know, let her get the help and shit.
No, I think my take on this, and then I'll let you go, is part of me wonders if she had every intention of going home until the tape was released, because there's correspondence that we don't have yet that I think we're going to get, where Ralph is going to probably, because the thing is, Matthew's got her cell phone, which means if Ralph was texting her or there's any kind of like DMs, those could come out, you know, like those could come out, and that could be very interesting. We're going to get a lot of stuff out of this. And this is the thing. Like, I know the farms are all over this. I know that, that the Gunt Retort cow board is all over this. This is the making of one of the most epic lolcows of all time. And I think that's why it's so fascinating. We're watching this human butterball burn by his own choices.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues to make them. And so it's like, no matter how hard and how much you might yell, you know, stop, drop, and roll, and anything else, he's just not going to listen, because he's so gone that this is the world, this is the reality. And also, everyone's still home from COVID, at least here in the States. A lot of people are out of work. So it's entertaining. It's a dumpster fire that plays the maracas. It's entertaining. And so
is this gonna
build up? And now the dad's dropping all this stuff. He's going to psychological warfare on him. I mean, you know, like, 'cause now Ethan lives in fear of Matthew Vickers more than one way. Lives in absolute fear.
And I know people have given a lot of criticism to Matthew Vickers just putting it all out and shitting all over his, you know, disavowing and shitting all over it by putting out the info. But what better way to combat all the bullshit, I think, you know? I don't know. It's a hard one. I know a lot of people have been critical of him. But at the end of the day, I'm not thinking too much about it. He's been put in a real hard spot. And he's putting it all out there. It's like, yeah, well, fuck yeah, I'm going to read it. So,
yeah, well, I mean, like, why the fuck not? You know, let's, I want to see how far down this rabbit hole goes. And I think out of a few people on the internet, I'm one of the few that has every right to get a front row fucking seat, get my popcorn, and watch it all come tumbling down.
Yeah, it'll be like VidCon when Anita Sarkeesian's up on stage.
Yeah, well, around. there's a meme that I'm gonna have made. it's because it's funny. It's really bad, but it's also funny. Is you know the movie Fahrenheit 9/11?
Yes.
So they did an. We're gonna do a fake poster. It's Fahrenheit 8/11. Because 8/11 is when he released the tape.
Yeah, yeah, I saw the penis towers and a head on a plane and all of that. Yeah, there's been a few memes about it.
We're going to get some memes out of that. I think it's going to be pretty funny. It's not the super original, but I thought it was funny. I chuckled. I was like, I think this is fucking good, so I'm going to post it. Yeah, so, it's like everyone's just going to meme him. And it's like, welcome to the party, pal. Welcome to the fucking party. No. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. I'm just going to kind of blaze through these last couple of people because I do have to get to bed myself.
All right. Can I shill really quick for
yeah,
I go?
Shill.
Hey, Jas, tomorrow, it's always 9 p.m. CST Saturday nights on the Hey, Jas channel. We got JMK on. He's the new champion. He's going to roll fag everybody, so it'll be great.
There we go. All right. Thanks a lot, dude.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Talk soon. All right. Okay, I see a couple people that are still there. I'm gonna quickly just gonna jump through Anthony because I know Anthony's been waiting a while. He's been here, one of the first ones. Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, it's been a fun night. So we're just gonna do this lightning round because it's late where you are. It's late where I am. So what's on your mind, buddy?
I don't like when certain people that I trusted block me on social media.
I'm sorry to hear that. Who blocked you on social media?
This actress from Trauma, Vida Castillo.
What did you do?
I did not do nothing.
She just didn't like what she had to say and she blocked you? That's unfortunate.
Well, it was just Instagram's policy.
Why was it Instagram's policy?
I don't know. It just Vida Castillo. I said something and she blocked me.
Oh, did you say anything to her first?
No. I just said... Just said something and suddenly I looked on my Instagram, gone. Our page is mad gone.
Huh. Mm. That's weird. I mean, like, do you think she blocked a lot of other people or?
I don't know.
Did she delete her account?
No, she didn't delete her account. I think she blocked me.
Oh, okay. Well, you must have said something to get her to block you, right? I mean.
No, I just said that, Oh, by the way, I hate needles and
You hate needles?
Needles, you know, when you take your blood and flu shot.
Yeah.
And next thing.
But is she tatted up? Does she have a lot of tattoos?
No, she doesn't have tattoos.
Oh, okay. What was the con? Why did you write I hate needles?
Because I'm afraid. I used to have when I was a little kid, I used to be afraid of needles.
No, I understand that. But I mean, the question that, because now I'm just like curious. So what would prompt you to write that on her Instagram page?
Well, it just that I wanted to agree with her.
Well, about what do you recall?
Maybe it was the Neil thing. I told her that she's a good actress and everything, et cetera, et cetera.
Did you say she was attractive? Did you say she was
no,
hot?
No, I did not. Okay. I did not. I'm telling the truth.
Okay. So you didn't say something along the lines of like, I want to fill a sock full of Nutter Butter thinking of you. Nothing like that.
No.
Okay.
Nothing.
Good. Okay. Don't ever do that. By the way, people listening to this right now, it's terrible. Never do that.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
It's harassment.
Now she blocked me.
Well, I'm sorry she blocked you, but sometimes people block for like the dumbest reasons, you know, like I'm blocked by Grace Randolph. I don't even know why.
I'm sorry to hear that. I met Grace Randolph. I met Grace Randolph at Midtown Comics book signing.
Cool. I've met her once. I met her at VidCon a couple of years ago.
I got a book signed in storage.
Nice. Nice. Well, hold on to that. Cause I think one day that will be worth some serious money, but yeah, all right, Anthony, I'm going to let you go, buddy. But thank you for calling in and for waiting, and we'll talk soon, okay, man? Don't get blocked by anybody else. Don't Thank you. Anthony's a good guy. He calls in all the time. Okay, we're going to go Biohazard Fallout. What's up, man? Thank you for waiting on this.
Hey, one. How's it going? Can you hear me?
I can, yeah. Sorry for the delay. I'm a talker. Other people are talkers. It goes on and on.
Okay, well, you got to understand. Like, I'm new to the... Like, I don't do the Discord shit. Like, I'm new to this stuff.
That's why I use StreamYard, because a lot of people who aren't always very Discord savvy, and it's confusing.
So I'm just going to, like, interject my point, and there's some obligatory points that I want to put forward. Sure. Congratulations on the redemption arc. I think that you're doing a fantastic job. I think that you are way more respectable than people like Ethan Ralph, even though they talk shit like you're worse than them. So I just want to say that, and congratulations.
thank you. Thank you.
And it might come across as like dick sucky, but no, you know what? No. Like, I've been A-logging this motherfucker for like fucking like 3-4 years now, since he was on YouTube and being like, you're trash. And he would get so offensive. He would respond in the comments to me that I was like, oh no, your show is trash. You're like Tonka 2.0. And he would get really upset about it. And I thought it was like really entertaining.
Yeah, he does get pretty worked up about it, and then it just goes a certain direction, and it's pretty predictable. There's a lot of what he does is predictable. So him actually going as quiet as he has been these last couple of days, as very like just reserved that and conservative, yes. It's like, you know, this is him afraid.
Yeah, well, here's the thing is like I do respect to some degree, like he does take criticism. You know, like when we talk shit on the Kiwi Farms, this guy fucking listens, and it's fucking hilarious, man, because we're like, oh, your hair looks like shit. And then he like bang buzz cut.
Or, oh, yeah. I know you guys control him like crazy over there. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's like it's almost like it's like a video game and we're in control of how it's like. I'm dead serious. And it's the most entertaining shit ever. Because we're like, oh, look at his T-Rex arms. Like, I could pull up fucking posts that I've made and then just seeing, like, how he responds to it. And, like I said, like, I'm not faulting him. I think, like, this is, like, a positive thing that he's doing, right? Is, you know, like, we're talking shit about him and he's, like, making improvements. You know what I mean? Like, so it's really funny from that standpoint, from the Kiwi's perspective, right?
Yeah, I get that. I've had people, I had someone said on Twitter the other day, they're like, they tagged me and they said something along the lines of like Matt Jarboe is proof that bullying works.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, 100%, man. This guy is listening to what we're saying and he's making like improvements to the point where like I'm posting on Kiwi. I'm like, you know, like he shaved his head off. It looks better. And he's rocking the fucking hat. Like it shaved like 3 years off his life. You know what I mean? Like he looks younger. He looks more fresh. He's making those improvements because we're criticizing him. And what's funny is like, I couldn't imagine as like a 34, like I'm turning 30 tomorrow. Tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh, happy early birthday. So,
thank you very much. And I could not imagine like just taking like if like I'm on my own, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to like listen to what other people are saying. Like, I'm like past my 30s. We're getting into 30s. So I'm not going to listen to like fucking what like a potential 20-year-old is going to like criticize me about, like, because I could give like two shits about it. Right.
Yeah.
But he fucking cares, man. And, you know, like it's working out for him to some degree, because he could have brought up like, oh, the hostage picture. Remember like that hostage picture? It looked like he was like, yeah, they're in a chokehold and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, holy fuck, man. Like, how did you think like what the optics look on that? Like, even to your fan base, right? Like, it's embarrassing. And it was just like a getcha like at the farms, but the farms are just like, dude, like, bring more, like, keep doing it, like, you know, like, we're loving it because he's given us ammunition for no reason.
Well, I think it's because he's so desperate to I think control the narrative.
And, yeah, I think and so.
Like,
yeah.
And I understand that because there's times where I've been like when I was talking to drummer earlier, he brought up like the flagging stuff, and like I will acknowledge what I did. I will admit what I did and apologize for it. I have, but I have this thing about like I don't like to be accused of shit I haven't done. You know?
Yeah.
And so
that's like, the worst, right?
Like that. Yeah. So that got me a little bit. And like people called it out in the chat. They were like, you really shouldn't maybe say that. And I'm all like, yeah, no, I'm like, you're totally right. Like it's not a good look because it does make it appear like I'm not remorseful, that I really don't care. It's such a weird place to be because it's like no one likes to be falsely accused of shit, but it's like how you handle it is a different story. And I think when it comes to Ralph, it's like he wants to control the narrative on everything because the rest of his life is in shambles. So he needs like this e-curve. Because I mean, keep in mind, like when he was in jail, he was like, "Oh, hey, I'm big on YouTube." No, he wasn't. You know, and and then now he's like emailing Vickers, like, you know, I'm kind of a big deal on the internet.
I could not imagine like talking shit to like the girl I'm banging's dad the way he does. Like, call me a moral fag or whatever the fuck, but like the way he's like, "Oh, I'm fucking your daughter," like. Jesus fucking Christ, like you're asking for a murder attempt.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, he's asking fucked, for it, man. And then this is what we have. AbortTheRetort.com. Like,
yeah.
This is the reason. Like, this is
actions, like I would be like consequences. Super nice. I would be super nice to the guy and be like, look, like I love your daughter and me and her, everything's going good. You know, like I would play it like that route, right? Like where him, it's like oh, I know you don't like it, and fuck you, you're a piece of shit. Like, it's like, what the fuck are you, like, what's going through your mind, you know? Like, because, like, I'm not a dad or anything, but if I was, like, that would be like, dude, you're on my shit list. And that's not where you want to be, like, if you're banging someone's daughter. Like, you want to be cool with them, you want to be like, hey, I'm not that bad of a person. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you think things are bad, but like, you know, let's make amends, right? Like, and well, let's be cool.
And you have a point there, but we also need to look at it from a different perspective, which is Faith was lying to him. And he knows that now. She was lying to him about practically everything.
Sure. But for me to ever tell a guy's that I was banging her daughter, like, oh, I'm fucking her, like her, to her dad. I mean, like, I think we're like crossing boundaries at that point, right?
Oh, you well, yeah, no, no, yeah. clearly, that is not the right call. But it's like, but this is how Ethan operates when he's backed into a corner. Yeah. He lashes out. He thinks about being the most vocal and crass and rude and despicable.
Like he thinks he's winning or something. And yeah, it's like, you're not.
Well, because he thinks that like, he thinks that this is what the audience wants. And so he has to play up the audience. So it's like when he prank called me a couple weeks ago and he played.
It was like what I thought of that and what I said on Kiwi Farms and everyone agreed was like, it was like an ex-girlfriend, like calling you out of nowhere. And you were like, what the fuck are you calling me for? Like fuck off, you know? And that was the gist of like the whole thing. That's why he looked bad in it, right? Was because you were just like bewildered, like, what the fuck is this shit, right? Like, why are you calling me?
Yeah. And then he also said that he's like, oh, we could compare our life to see who's doing better. And I'm like,
yeah, I'm sure you're doing
like,
better.
Do you really want to go down that? Like, you really want to go down that pathway, dude? Like,
yeah,
we'll compare receipts. Like, sure. No, I do I have as much money as I used to? Nope. But do I have a mortgage that I'm locked into for 30 years? Yep.
You know, you're setting yourself up better than he is, like in terms, like what kills me is like he's like bragging about like $50,000 in the bank, like eight when Aid was like, oh, he has like $50,000. It's like that's a nice nest egg. Like, I'm not gonna lie, but it's not like anything like fancy. It's not like super substantial. Like, I don't think that would
sustain him for about a year.
Yeah, like a year, maybe two, if you're conservative about it, right?
Which he's
like
not. He's not.
Yeah, he's going to be drinking and partying and doing drugs, right? So,
well, what I think kills him the most, though, is the fact that he always eats out. That just eats into your budget, man.
That kills you. that's why, like, for me, like I live, like, I recently, like, I'm out of my mom's house. I'm on my own. I'm doing great. And I've found a love of cooking, and it's cheaper and it tastes better. You know, if you know how to do it and you fucking cook, like, chili is awesome. Spaghetti is awesome. It's easy to make. The fucking requirements for food like that is cheap, you know, like ground beef. It's cheap.
Yeah, I get lot of we do a lot of like ground turkey meat and everything else. So, you know, like I like to eat like fresh veggies. Like, I've been craving a salad like a motherfucker, you know, and I'm like, I got to go buy and make a salad one day. And, you know,
yeah, you buy the romaine and then you buy like some tomatoes and you just buy some dressing that you like.
I'll tell you what I love right now this time of year is we've got blackberry bushes like everywhere. In my literal neck of the woods, because I live in the forest, and so I take my daughter on a walk, my 2-year-old on a walk, and there's like this apple tree, and I'm like, oh, you want to get an apple? And she's like, apple. And so we go walking on down, you know, and like my cat's trailing along like he's a dog. It's great. And then, like, you know, I made the mistake of teaching her like which blackberries are ripe, and she doesn't like to eat them, but she likes to pick them. And then,
okay. Well, that's perfect.
Which is fine, because I just had to give her a bucket and go like, all right, pick them, put in there.
Yeah,
and
we'll add them in food.
Yeah, we'll have them later on and whatnot. And like, that's the thing is like, what I can't wait for as a dad is like, in the next couple of years, maybe next year, taking her to like the raspberry patch. Because this is, you know, Washington's got a lot of like farms where I'm at. There's a lot of farms. And they have raspberry picking and shit. It's great.
I went to a strawberry patch with my niece, and it's so much fun. Like, and it's what's fun about it is like, all the kids are having fun, and then all the adults sit there and we shoot the shit about like just random stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, all the parents, there's MILFs there, there's, you know, like grandmas and everything. And we're just having a good time while all the kids are picking strawberries, right? Like, the strawberry patch is awesome. And then, you know what's awesome about the strawberry patch is afterwards you get to eat the strawberries.
Oh yeah, well, it's like last week I took my daughter down to my dad's house, and my dad and my stepmom wanted to see her, and they you know, during COVID they kind of converted their backyard into like basically like a playground for kids, because I've got my two other nephews, and then my older nephew was there, and my daughter has a little bit of issue with him because he's bigger. He's like almost 5 and she's 2.5, so like he's just towers over her and whatnot, but she sees him and she gets all excited. Then his younger brother shows up, and he's like 6 months younger than my daughter. And then they're just like, they're thick as thieves. And then so the three of them just went and played for like an hour and a half, just running around the yard. And I'm sitting there with my dad and my stepmom and my sister. We're talking, and it was the weirdest thing. Like, you don't really realize how much pride you're going to feel as a parent.
Yeah.
Until you see your child having absolutely the best time of her life. It's such a cool thing to see, because we put her in a swing set too, and she was scared at first. We started swinging her, we had the baby swinging her in it, and then she didn't want to get out for over 20 minutes. I pushed her for 20 minutes and she was just smile ear to ear, big toothy grin for 20 minutes, and that's like, to me, that's what it's like being a parent. And that's kind of why I think like Vickers is doing what he's doing, because like he's thinking back to those moments, right?
Yeah,
he's thinking back to those moments of his daughter, and like what has kind of been taken from her in regards to like her privacy and her virtue, so to speak. And he's witnessed it. We've witnessed it. The internet's seen it. And so he comes in and he's just like, he's like, you know, he's furious, because I could get that.
Yeah,
like
he must be really pissed. Yeah,
he's super pissed off. So he's acting out in a way that he feels is going to cause the most damage. Now, granted, faith in the situation could end up being collateral damage, and that's going to be a bigger problem.
I think at that point, like, I think he's just like, he's so mad at her that he's willing to side with like the internet chads or the internet like cool guys, and just dump on her to just kind of like bring it home to her that, you know, you're not that cool. And Ethan Ralph's a fucking loser, right?
Well, yeah, real quick, I did see in the chat, Nicole says, be careful about teaching small children about eating picked fruit. They may start eating other plants and be poisoned. That's a very good point.
And
right now, it's only the blackberries, but some of them are green, some of them are red before they turn ripe, so she kind of plays with them a little bit. So you're very good. Thank you very much for the tip on that one. I'm 100% going to keep that more in mind.
That's why the only place that I've went picking was like in a strawberry patch, so it's like it's super safe.
Yeah, this because we have like a tree in our yard that now just all of a sudden like sprouted these berries.
Yeah,
and I'm like, we've been here for over 3 years and it hasn't done that before, and I'm like, where the fuck? What are these? And I don't know what the hell they are. I tried googling it, and it's
like boysenberries or something.
I don't know. I have no idea.
We had boysenberries and they're fine to eat.
Now I'm just gonna fucking look, but I do have to get to the last person okay tonight because I gotta
before I leave I just wanted to make one statement, and yes, it's that on the Kiwi Farms, I think Null got upset that I talked to Maddox, and I think Null needs to just chill the fuck out because like he doesn't know that like I follow Maddox on Twitch and I'm allowed to talk to him if I want.
Yeah.
He made a statement like, oh, you shouldn't like try to push like this drama or something like that. It was just kind of like scummy the way it was. And the way I was talking, I was like, oh, Dick's going down a fucking, he's dying on a hill. Right. And that's all I said to Maddox essentially. Right.
Yeah.
And he took almost issue with it. Like it was like gay ops or something. And it's like, no, I'm just talking to a fucking guy that I follow on Twitch. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't see the fucking issue with it.
It's not an issue. I mean, because here's the thing is like, I've been to Maddox's house.
Yeah. You know? He's a nice guy.
He's a good dude. Like, I understand that there are people that don't like him. And I understand there's reason why people don't like him. People don't like me. And there's reasons why people don't like me. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I'm not going to sit there and like, well, I can't say that. I
shouldn't talk to him because our great leader Null said that.
Yeah, you gotta be careful, I guess. I think Null.
Null's a good guy too, but you know, like it's like you know, like it's not gay ops for me to talk to someone because like I wasn't trying to like stir anything. I was just like, yo, check this out, like because I think that everyone is deserved like redemption. Right. Like, you know, they got fucked with like 2 years ago. And I think that now that shit's falling into place, like they should be in the know or they should be like aware of it, because I think that that's only fair, you know, because if it was the other way around, it would have been fucking called out. Like what blew my mind, and I have no issue with you, but why people gave a shit that a skeptic was flagging shit blew my mind, like why it was such a hot button
so
issue.
Well, I can actually like
it's
I
like
can
it's
explain
like basic
that actually
shit, right, like well, this is expected.
It's so in that regard I see your point, but here's kind of why it was viewed as a cardinal sin, and that has everything to do with the fact that how I got popular in the first place was I was false DMCA'd by a woman named Zoe Quinn. Now I didn't false DMCA anybody. Yeah. Which is, again, the terminology is usually where, like, you kind of, like, lose people. Because it really, it's like I pointed out with Drummer earlier, like, the devil's kind of in the details. You have to pay attention to what was actually going on to order to get the full opinion. But most people don't really want the full opinion. They just want to hear what they want to hear.
The people that were, like, you were flagging were, like, calling you a pedophile and shit. Like I understand to some degree why you might want to like flag that, right? Like it's not cool to just call someone that. Like I don't just call anyone that, right? Like I need to have evidence. I wouldn't even call Dick Masterson that, even though he's defending it, because I don't think there's sufficient evidence for me to say that this guy's a pedophile.
I think his friend is
because his friend Digibro said it. Yeah, he said it openly in a fucking weird way, like you would never want to associate with that. But like Dick, I think he's just trying to play the like, oh, I'm a hard ass and I'm just gonna do like contrarian fucking topic, you know, like I'm just gonna argue against it because that's what's popular. You know,
yeah,
I think he's being a fag about it. I think it's stupid.
Well, it's all conflated. It's all a lot of it's nonsense. A lot of it's
I think it's
whatever.
A lot of nonsense.
So,
yeah.
But then people are going to like again, it's kind of like, you know, it's just shit, man. It's like there's no nuance anymore. You can't have nuanced discussions. Everyone thinks like you're one thing or the other, especially. So it's like there are some issues. It's just not worth it getting involved over, you know. And it's so in that situation, though, it's like I think we can all agree like Laldecon and Shada are fucking disgusting.
I mean, like I think there's nuance in that. Like I would feel really weird to like openly defend that. Like I would fear that like I would be on some sort of a list, even if I was being contrarian about it, right? Like it's just not something that I think is acceptable. And the way that I like go through internet life versus real life is like if I'm comfortable saying it in internet life, I should be comfortable saying it on real life. You know what I mean? Like
I get you. It's
like I have standards, right? Like where it's like If I was like, oh, you know, like I don't think Donald Trump's the worst thing in the world. Like I would make that statement in real life and I would make that statement online. And then if it came to like CP or anything or Lolly, it's like I wouldn't make that statement in real life. Therefore, I wouldn't make it online because I think it's wrong. I think it's just like it's a slippery slope and it's fucked up. And I think people need to fucking wake up and realize that this is something that's going to be pushed and it's going to be something that's going to be, you know, like the fucking government is old and they don't fucking understand new age shit. And they might pass something stupid that's going to fucking help out pedophiles. And I think it's wrong. And it's just my opinion. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. You know what I mean?
I get that. It's such a tough discussion to have because it's involving kids. And so then it automatically ramps it up into this like super emotional level.
Sure.
And in many cases, it's like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, a lot of times people, I don't think, have all the details for everything. It's the internet. No one has everything. Yeah. No one has all the details.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, like, it's speculative.
Yeah,
right?
But the problem with it is, in many cases, speculation becomes fact.
Yeah, like, the ones that are speculating on it are the ones that are pushing it, too.
Well, I mean, and I will let you go after this, but, like, think of Pizzagate, right? Like, what Pizzagate started off as, the Podesta email leak, tying it to Comic Ping Pong Pizzeria. We know that wasn't real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet it's like, but then that group of people, and when they were presented with an objective fact that this is not happening, then they go, well, and they move that goalpost, right?
They move the goalpost. And that's what I'm concerned about, right?
Yeah. Like, well, the goalpost always gets fucking moved, dude. It's like, it doesn't matter what it is.
That's why I think like vehemently everyone needs to just like violently reject it. Cause I think that's the best way to remove it, right? Is to just deter it from that sense, right? Like if everyone's like, if I hear that you say that, like, I'm going to kick your ass, that's force enough to like make a lot of people not want to push that, right?
You mean like, and, well, I mean, I guess I should say like, in some random form of context, like, you know,
even in a real life, even on an online, right? Like if it's like, I hear somebody like supporting like pedophilia and it's like the response is like, I want to fight you now. Is going to prevent that in a lot of cases, right? Like from like a real life standpoint, like we could talk online, like online is like whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, real life is where it's real, right? Well, and I never see that.
But you
also
have to now see that that online and real life have now blended.
They're starting to blur. Yeah.
Well, no, they've been blurred for years. They've been blurred for years, but we're now more aware of them being blurred, but they've been blurred for many years now. So it's like, I always like the concept of asking follow-up questions because I feel like if you ask follow-up questions, you're then able to get maybe more information out of the person or what their opinions are, what they actually know.
Well, can I ask you that? Have you ever like had like a real life, like maybe at a job or like a friend or a friend of a friend or something ever like push a pro pedophilia stance in real life?
No, not pro pedophilia. I mean,
yeah, me either, right?
But I have friends. I haven't talked to them in years, but like before I knew what Lolly and Shota was, they were into Lolly and Shota. And I didn't know what it was at the time.
Yeah,
and
I didn't. I'm new on that too.
And
like,
so that's, but then that opens up a, let's see, this is where like, this is where the conversation goes. It's very slippery slope. Like, how do you address the situations? But it's like, it does open up that larger conversation of, well, if you have this, does it deter people from hurting kids? Which there's arguments on both sides of that. But then, but then how much of that is actually, how much child pornography or animated child pornography like Lolicon is modeled after real child pornography of where there are real victims? That's, and that's something we don't know the answer to entirely, but it opens it opens up this much broader category. So then we come down to the situation involving free speech and free expression and where where
do we draw the line on that? I think that's being used by pedophiles to push an agenda, is like, because it like I find lately there've been like, oh, you're a moral fag for being against pedophilia. And it's like, no, 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 no. This is a duty. This is like, this is what you should do, right? Like I cannot accept that in society.
Sure.
And on online, like they're really going that legal route, and it's attractive to a lot of people that are into like free speech and free expression, and like I should be able to say the N-word, and it's like it's a way to
get them
on their side.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, but see, then again, there's like, again, this is kind of where the contrarian in my brain kind of kicks off, because I like, again, asking follow-up questions. So why aren't we allowed to say the N-word in public?
Well, I like, for me, I think that's different than like drawing cartoon porn.
Sure. I mean, but we're talking about the abstract. We're talking about like an overall,
An overall, and that's
scenario.
Where
it, so it becomes social norms. Yeah, that becomes social norms. So it's like, it's like, I don't like, you know, people, they came at me a couple of years ago. Like, I wrote this, I like to be a bit provocative. It's very easy to be provocative back on Twitter in 2012. And so like, I had this, this tweet, I guess I had like a Tumblr post where like I talked about like 13-year-olds wearing like the spandex that had the word juicy on the ass. Like I said, I hate it.
Because
it makes me the pervert. And then everyone took that and like, oh my God, Matt's a pedo. Like, dude, but it was tied to a blog post that got deleted. The tweet stayed up, but the blog post got deleted, where I'm bitching. I am legitimately bitching about those shorts. I don't like them. Because
I don't like them.
When you have either. Got these girls that are young, 11 to 13.
Yeah, they're
old,
like 13 that are wearing it.
And
right?
they're wearing black shorts and they have white lettering. We intrinsically look at the most brightest thing in the room. We will always look to what's bright. And so we're trained to do that. So it's like you are literally using subconscious human behavior, like uncontrollable human behavior, to focus, to make people at least read what it says.
I think you're a failure as a parent if you buy your kid that.
I will never.
You know
never.
What I mean? Like, it's just like,
no, I will
Jesus
never.
Christ, man. Like, why would you, like you don't buy them that kind of stuff. You don't want to sexualize your kid.
But
I
see,
mean, like,
but
that's fucking weird.
But then the question then becomes, is it sexualized, or are you the one sexualizing it? Now, I'm not trying to get down to a moral debate on that one, but it's a question. These are questions, right? So these are.
Oh no,
so,
I think the eye is of the beholder in that one.
Yeah, right? I mean that's the thing. Which is like my girlfriend and I are very like clothing conservative, you know, and so it's like I don't think it's gonna be a problem on our end. I don't like it though. Like, you know, you look at some of these cheer competitions and like the outfits, and it's like, well, I try to think of it from a production standpoint. Like it's again, brass tacks data.
Yeah. I'm trying to be like as fair as possible.
Like if you're, like if they're dancing, they're moving, there's friction. They have to then be free and open to be able to maneuver.
Sure.
Is this the reason why? And then, but then at the same time, it's like, but do they need
I don't
want to
get beat.
Do they need all these other aspects? Like, you know, all these other things. And then you look at like beauty pageants. I think those are fucking terrible.
Oh,
I fucking
fuck,
hate those
man.
Things.
I am so against. And you could call me the moral fag or whatever. I think it's disgusting. The whole Honey Boo Boo thing.
Yeah,
I think
that was bad.
I think the women that watch it are not like pedophiles. I think they think it's cute or something. But I know for a fact that there's definitely like fucking pedophiles that watch that shit and get off to it.
There's a lot of bad people out
there. And that's disgusting.
You know, and then But again, like having adult conversations around these topics, you can't do that on the internet. Like not at all. Because so many people, again, it's that immediate guttural emotional reaction that ends up really kind of causing the problem. But again, I'm, I could go like, this is a, it's always a fascinating conversation. Cause I heard a guy a number of years ago, his name was like Bad Cop 69. I think that was his YouTube channel. And he did a video. He wasn't pro pedophilia, but he was trying to argue its the impact of its existence on the victim, but he was trying to argue that the pedophile was also a victim, and his argument
and it made sense.
His argument, which I thought was kind of fascinating because I'd never heard it presented quite like that before, was this could be one of those things where it's completely uncontrollable and they are always struggling with it. And then I'm like, I get that. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I don't have the training. I don't have the knowledge to make a fundamental judgment statement on that particular, like on what to do with that information.
But it's complicated.
It's been like 7 years ago is when he put the video out, and it's kind of stuck with me since then, because it's that, again, it's that counter argument that pops up in my head when these discussions happen. And then I'm like, okay, because I'm really big into like true crime. You know, I love all that murder.
Yeah,
shit.
Me too. Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
I like to understand the motivations. I like to understand why things happen the way that they happen.
Jim Can't Swim. He's a great true crime.
There's a lot of good YouTubers out there that do it. People keep yelling at me. They're like, "Why do you do a podcast when there's that chapter?" And I'm like, "Because we do two different things."
That chapter is another good one. Yeah.
See, I tell you what I don't like about that chapter is I don't like the interjections. You know, I want the story. Yeah. Like, I don't mind the commentary because I provide commentary in my tracks. But it's like what I feel are like cheap jokes. It just
sometimes
comes across
. Like I wish it was more professional based. Right.
Well, it's
like
a YouTube thing. You're not professionalism. But like,
but he does cover good case. Yeah, studies, yeah. Right?
I cover the current stuff. Like I'm in a Facebook group with like 148,000 people, and they're very very active. And I swear to God, I'm one of like five active dudes in that group. And it's all women, and these are Karens, right?
Okay.
Like, I jokingly call them Karens, but I call them good Karens because
they're good ones. Yeah.
They collect all the information, but they don't call the cops. You get it?
Okay.
It's like they observe and they report, but they report amongst themselves, like a cackle of Karens. A friend of mine joke, he's all like, yeah, you can just call them like the Karen Detective Agency, you know, because they literally like they dive into this shit and they compile. I mean, dude, fuck. They compile so much information, like reading through threads are nuts.
Weaponized autism is fucking real, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's a bunch of like soccer moms and they got a lot of free time at night. Anyway, man, I got to wrap this thing up because I got to be up early in the morning too. So
thank you very much.
Yeah, this is a good conversation. And thank you.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. I enjoy it. The only thing I'm going to leave on is that I think, I don't know. I lost my train of thought. We'll just call it at that, and hopefully maybe I'll call in next time. We had a great conversation. Thank you very much. Thank you to the audience, and that was a great time I had. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, definitely. We'll talk again soon. All right, man.
For sure, man. Have a good night.
Thank you very much. All right. We've got the last guy here, YouTube Made Great Again. We're going to be real quick on this one, though, dude. I know you've been waiting a while. I'm sorry. I don't know if you know if he's there right now. He may not be, but he'll come in a second. Real quick, Leafy. I saw Safety wanting me to talk about Leafy. So, he's right now even Leafy. I don't know the whole story on that one. I know he's gone. Apparently he's been yeeted. He's been booted. I don't know why. Twitter has been not necessarily the most forthcoming with information. A lot of hot takes, you know how that goes. But does it have something to do with Pokimane? Because that's another angle that I heard. Some people are out there saying that Pokimane is a flagger. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen her report history. But then again, I have a feeling in that particular situation, a report history is not something that would happen. So, let's see. Pokemon got him... Jarbo's got nothing to say about Leafy. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I just know. Yeah, thanks for about Hazard for calling on in. I just don't know what the hell is going on with that. So let me. Is there like a fucking article or some shit? Let me see here. I have Google alerts set up for YouTube. Maybe somebody's talking about it. Let's see here. No. God damn it. I really have no fucking idea why Leafy. Can anyone tell me here why Leafy got busted? Leafy knows that he's not supposed to believe other channels, even Ethan from H3H.